Welcome to the Women in Business radio show with Sian Murphy, connecting women in business around the globe.
Hello and welcome to the Women in Business radio show studio. I've got no idea what I'm doing. How many weeks has it been? It's got to be, we haven't been in the studio for the last 2 weeks, have we? Because we had the Women in Business big show.
Mm, we did.
I couldn't walk on the first, the next Thursday. I certainly couldn't speak to anybody. So it's been three weeks, isn't it? It has, yes. And we decided we were going to do the show today. So we don't really have any guests. Well, we've got one guest in the show, haven't we? But in the second half of the show.
He looks at us.
Yeah, in the second half of the show, it's just us two, isn't it?
Yeah, just catching up.
It is, just catching up. And we're going to introduce a new section, aren't we?
We are. Because we do this.
Do you know what I've worked out?
If we haven't been together for a while, it's quite dangerous because we get new ideas.
Well, this wasn't sort of my idea, but I think we're going to go with it, which is word of the week.
Word of the week.
Well, so this is going to be in part two. It's just me and Adele. We're going to go with word of the week, and we've got and it was actually quite easy before, but it's got a lot harder now.
It has got harder.
Anyway, you'll have to wait for part two, which is at 12, before you get to hear that stupidness. Okay, so I don't know what I'm doing. I've got nothing. I've got no note. Well, I have. I've got three bits of scribbled things down here. I don't know. I think we'll just have to go with it, won't we?
Yeah, that's what we like.
Yeah, have you been doing anything interesting?
Have I been doing... Do you know what? I talked to lots of women. It's silly season. So we was at the big show a few weeks ago, and we prepare for that, and then you're out, and then being quite tired, and then the weather's changing, children back to school, and it just seems like discombobulated.
I ended up running the cafe at that event.
Yeah, I know you did.
That's why I was so knackered.
It'd been sunny, and then the day decided to downpour that day, didn't it? And just.
But I ended up running the entire camp. I wasn't ready to run the cafe. No. But fortunately, I had some stuff there, but it wasn't exactly how I planned it. But I was very, very busy that day, and we need to just say thank you to some people who really, really stepped up and just got just help. So the first is Fiona.
Amazing. She wasn't well either, was she? Bless her.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't feeling the best, but you know, she just stepped up and came and helped in the cafe. So that's Fiona from Microblading and More. We also had Charlie. I can't even remember anybody's names. I've known these people for years. We had Charlie Vanita Garrett, who also was running around just sort of helping on the day, and Jess, who's part of my team, who also just got on with it. We weren't planning on running a cafe. I still don't know how we did.
It's what we do. It's what you do.
It's what we do. I don't know how, but we did. We ran the entire cafe. So thank you. Thank you to everybody who sort of, I don't know, it just didn't. We just got on with it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. You just do. Absolutely. Not quite the day. You know, it started off with a torrential downpour. None of us had expected as it floods. And then,
But it was a good day. So we've got a few people to say thank you to about that, and I think we're going to do that as we go further, as we carry on through the year. We're going to be having some of these people back onto the radio. It's far too many people to say thank you to now, but for those people who just sort of got out there and helped me with, you know, we were humping coffee machines and goodness knows what else about, thank you to everybody for that, for making it a really, really successful day, sort of making it a bit fun. It wasn't, when I found out I had to run the cafe, it wasn't much fun, but it turned out okay, didn't it? So what are we doing today? So I'm trying to think, help me, I don't know what the time is. I don't know what I'm doing here. So we're in the first half of the show, in the business show. We have got a guest on the show. It's one of our sponsors. It is a speaker from the Women in Business big show. It's Mark Jennings from Storm Chasers Digital, who is a WordPress and Google expert. That just about, I don't know, that's that sort of sums it up. Hello, Mark.
Good morning.
He is going to be talking to us about, what are you talking about? Google My Business. So we're going to come on to that later. But first of all, what we're going to do is we're going to have our little sort of round the houses thing when we talk about our tool of the week. So I know who I'm going to nominate as my tool of the week. I'm not going to mention it. But I'm going to just keep that to myself. Have you got a tool of the week?
I have got a tool of the week, and It's a tool that I've had for ages, but again, hadn't realised how important it is. And that is a piece of software called Otter. And I have been recording masterclasses and voiceovers. And what it does, if you take the audio of the file, put it into Otter, and it transcribes it. And then that way it just becomes a very quick edit. So if you want to drop a lift up podcast notes or master or anything you're doing. So I've been doing a lot of learning modules, and there's always, you know, let's give a paragraph at the front. And rather than starting from scratch, I drop in that, and that's been really well. And again, they've upgraded it, so it's much smarter. So you don't get so many random words, and it also splits it between speaker now, speaker one, speaker two.
It's very clever. I've been using it for a while and it did that. Shall I tell you how I use that? Because it's really, really useful. I take the recording of this and I put it into Otter, and that means that it's an awful lot easier. So, you know, we have like Book of the Week and we have Tool of the Week, all of these recommended things. And a normal person would actually write them down as we're going along, wouldn't they? Or would even have planned what they were going to say beforehand and have some sort of idea. But it's not that, it's me. So I get to the end of the show, I've got absolutely no idea what we spoke about or what happened. And then it goes over to sort of the social, it's not edited, but it goes over to the social media manager. And I want her to pull out the recommended books and all that sort of thing. Well, does she really have to listen to the entire show? So no, you'd get the transcript on Otter, and you can search it and go, okay, what's Book of the Week? So as long as I say, hey, what's Book of the Week?
But I get, absolutely. So if you're doing a masterclass, you'll have your slides, but if you've got different group, you might say something slightly different.
Yeah.
So again, it's the same principle. I go through Otter, oh yeah, that's new, that's a good, you know, and it just, without listening to it, stopping and starting and recording. So yeah, and also you get to read the show rather than listen to it. So again, I think for me, it's just, it seems the AI has got, you haven't got so many random words in. It seems to be getting smarter. The more I use it, the smarter it gets.
You know, they're going to have an upgrade in September, so you need to check your subscription.
Yep.
You need to lock in certain things before that happens in September. So that's also a heads up for anybody else out there who's currently using Otter AI. Just check your emails, because they will have emailed you. I think one of the key things is going to be that you're going to be restricted to 10 uploads a month.
Okay. Yeah.
So...
I think
bear that in mind.
I think again the propriety of it and its capability.
Yeah, and I think what you can do, it gives you the opportunity, you can actually lock that in beforehand.
I should do that's on my to-do list.
There we go.
Thank you.
Mark, have you got a tool that you can recommend?
I have, and it's Soho Projects.
Oh,
we like a bit of Soho.
We use it because we can add in all our tasks and monitor the time that it's taking us to do them. So from my point of view, you know, I think this is going to take me half an hour. Does it really do it? I suppose it's a bit like analytics, just checking what I think I know, how I actually do.
So that's Soho Projects. Okay, I've got my tool is actually a brand new tool, and I just love it. And I'm giving a shout out to these guys, because they're in the process of developing. I think this tool has now gone beyond beta. It's called Xtiles. And it's developed by a team in Ukraine. And I'm going to be having a chat with these guys later, because this is just an absolutely fantastic thing. If you need a second brain.
Yes, I certainly do. Brenda needs an assistant,
okay,
my brain.
So this tool is like a cross between Trello, where you have linear tiles, so you can move them downwards and you can move them sideways. But only in rows or columns. And Evernote, where you can have endless notes, but they go on and on and on and on. This, you can just move these tiles around all over the place. It's absolutely fantastic.
It's called Xtiles.
Xtiles. They've got a launch in September on Product Hunt, but I found them beforehand. It's I think I'm going to be spending a lot more time talking about this. I'm going to see, I've got a call scheduled with them, and I may see if they're able to come on the show. You know, I think there are going to be certain restrictions. I don't know. You know, it could be the time. I have no idea what time it is in Ukraine now, and they may not want to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to speak to little old us. But I am going to give them a recommendation. Just go and have a play. They've got a free thing on it, which is fully functional, but it just limits how much of the stuff you can have. So you can only have like 4 boards or something, but you still get to use all of the functions. It's really, really clever.
Okay.
So that's mine.
I like that.
What else do we normally talk about? I'm relying on you, Adele. Come along.
Book. Because we
Go
know our
then.
Guest has got a book.
Has he? Have you got one?
Yeah. I can't remember. It's called The Craving Brain. I'll just check who it's by, actually, because it's not a well-known. It is The Craving Brain, and I will find this. Who is it by?
There's nothing like being prepared,
no,
is
I
there?
Am.
Get
I
on with it.
I was listening to it, and it is by, oh, gosh, I can't find it. I can't find who it's by.
And Mark, have you got a book?
Yeah,
book.
The book that I want to recommend is Don't Sweat the Small Stuff by Richard Carlson, and the subheading is And It's All Small Stuff.
Well.
Essentially, you look at everything that sort of pops up in your day and it's causing you a bit of angst, shall we say, and you look at it on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is death. So now really, how bad is this thing?
Could be closer than you think.
So it does help you put things in perspective.
Yeah, no, I suppose that would, wouldn't it? Yeah. Have you found it?
Yes, by a guy called Judson Brewer. It's called The Craving Brain, and it's just explaining why it could be challenging to break habits and how our brain is wired. So again, it's just stepping back and you go, oh yeah, well, we know habits are broken. Sometimes I like to go back to basics, and this sort of time of year is when I go back to basics, and I just like the way they're explaining how we crave things and then how we can, you know, make a bit more mindful effort. And I don't mean mindful, like writing the diary and routines as a clever way to start retraining your brain, and it's not just sitting down and meditating. There's being something a bit more scientific about it. So for me it's just a fresh approach on some, you know, on core neuroscience, but it's just a different way of explaining to it, especially when I'm dealing with clients and people that it's all about changing habits. So yeah, it's good. I like it so far.
Book-wise, I'm still very boring, I'm afraid. I'm still on audiobooks because I've got a bit of trouble.
We've still got third person in our relationship. Has he not moved on yet?
Look who's talking!
Did I mention him? I haven't. I didn't mention.
You sort of have. Come along. I'm fluctuating between two. I'm almost too embarrassed to say. I'm on audiobooks because I've got a bit of trouble with my eyes, so I can't see very well. But I'm fluctuating between, it's still Eckhart. It's still Eckhart. And Harry Potter.
Okay, it's good. It's a good flip.
Yeah, sort of. That's it, really. I can't say anymore. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to wean myself off him.
Yeah.
Quite soon.
It's been a long relationship. We need some fresh.
I know, but there you go. What's a girl to do? I don't know. We're just waffling, aren't we? We really are. We're just waffling. It's terrible. Other shows aren't like this. They're all quite organised. I think what we ought to do is go over to what is going to be our core topic of the day. So, sort of business, how can you grow your business, what's out there, just sort of data driven like real stuff to move your business onto the next stage. So we're going to welcome Mark from Storm Chasers Digital. So Mark, if you could tell us a little bit about what you do and who you do it with, and then I think we're moving over onto Google My Business, aren't we?
Sure.
Which was a topic that you spoke about at the Women in Business big show, wasn't
it? Exactly.
Okay, so fire away.
So yeah, I'm the technical manager for Storm Chasers Digital, and we help people with WordPress websites, whether it's just that they want them looking after, make sure nothing goes wrong, or they want to add extra functionality. So that's our prime business, but we also do Google Analytics, so we help people then monitor what's going on with their websites, what their visitors are doing, and we can even say to them, you need to do this, you need to do that, because the user experience can be improved doing this. And obviously, as we're going to talk about, Google My Business.
So, tell us a little bit about what is Google My Business?
Okay, so it is essentially a tool that Google provides. I suppose the easiest way to explain it is it's like the old Yellow Pages. So it's Yale, as it has now become, but it's Google's Yale. So it's not just relevant to one small area, so like the Yellow Pages was the UK, it's global. But it's designed for small businesses, essentially. So a business where a door needs to open for a transaction to take place. Okay, so either you go into a hair salon or the plumber comes into your house to fix a leak. Does that explain it for you?
It does. So if you're working internationally, So if your clients are all over the world,
yeah,
can you still use it?
You can, because you can say I operate in these locations. So, for example, if you're a business in Maidstone, you could say I operate in Maidstone, Ashford, Canterbury, Medway, for example. Or if you're a business in Kent, you could say I operate in Kent, East Sussex, West Sussex, Oxfordshire, etc. You get the idea. Or you could then expand that out and say I'm in the UK, but I operate in France, Germany.
Okay. So, I think a few questions is, do you need a website to use Google My Business?
No, you do not. You don't need to have a website for your business to start. No.
So that's actually really quite important, isn't it? Because it means if you've just started out and you haven't got perhaps a whole heap of money to have a website done, or you may not even know what you want to put on your website, which I think is sometimes a barrier, isn't it? What am I going to put on it? You can still use Google My Business as part of to be online and as
to be found online. Yeah, sure. I mean, essentially, it's an enterprise level tool which is free for people to use. As in, there is no monetary cost to use this. All you need to have is a Google account.
So, I mean, I realise this is radio and it's perhaps not that easy to describe, but are you able to tell people how they can go about doing this? Or also, I tell you what, the other thing is maybe, what does this look like? So if you're on Google and you set up Google My Business properly, what do you see? Or what does somebody who's looking for your business or looking for something that you do, what do they see on Google that may be different to somebody who hasn't set it up?
Okay, so the easiest way to do this probably is to pull out your phone, open up Google Maps like most people have, and then just type in the name of a business or a service. So, for example, if you just type in hairdresser, and you don't need to put in a geographical modifier, as in you don't need to say hairdresser near me or hairdresser Medway or whatever, because it'll know where you are. And if you just type in hairdresser and hit return, you'll see it will be Google My Business listings that will get pulled up and shown to you. And that's the same on search.
So that's like on the map?
Yeah, or on search. You can do the same on search. And essentially on the search, so we're all familiar with the Google search page. If you type in hairdressers, for example, sticking with, God knows where I've got hairdressers, but there you go. So if you type that in, you will find that what will turn up on the top of the search engine results page that comes back is ads at the top, if there is any, and then a little picture of a map with three listings underneath it, and those are Google My Business listings.
Right, okay, so basically if you want to be found on Google, you sort of need to have this, don't you?
Yeah, that's really important, because I talk to a lot of women, I'm not ready to start yet because I haven't got a website.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny, they think that's the default, the first thing, when actually you could take step one, which set up Google My Business.
Yeah.
Yeah, and still be found. You don't need that website.
No.
And so can you, because I think thinking about what I see when I search for something is I find it and then there's a telephone number. So you search on Google. So if you say hairdressers, some of them come up and there'll be like telephone number and and there may be pictures and all of that sort of thing. Yeah. So in actual fact, if you haven't got a website, it's even more important if you do this because you can still get found and you can still be called, can't you?
You can be called and people can get directions to your, if they need to come to you. So I said about the door opening. So if they need to come to your premises for the transaction to take place, they can click the directions button as well.
What other information can you put up there? So you can put your phone number, you can link to your website if you've got one.
Yeah, you can put in your business opening hours, and that's crucial, because obviously you only want people ringing you or getting directions when you are open. So it's your business name, your address, your phone number and your opening hours is the real crux of what you're trying to give to people here. And if you can give images, brilliant. So if I'm coming along the road to find your hairdressers, what does it look like from the outside? Because I'm you know, it's telling me I'm there, but as we quite often know, as we're walking along, there may be five or six shops around you. So which one is it? So, yeah, things like that.
And presumably, if you, so let's just say you would stay with the hairdressers. If you are a hairdresser, you can perhaps put up some images of people having their hair done and yeah, all of that sort of thing.
You can then start adding in. So you build up your basic profile, which includes information about your business, of which you can have 750 characters. Okay, and if you want to get an idea of what to write, obviously a good place to start is by Googling the businesses like yours and seeing what they've got on their listings. Yeah. So you put in 750 characters you can have for that. Okay, and then you can start adding in services and products depending on what you do. Obviously, if you're a plumber, it's a service that you offer.
So hang on, sorry to interrupt you there. So what you're saying is that you've got some stuff where you can do, if you like, some free writing. You can write your bio, yeah, or whatever, but there's also a space on top of that where you can put products and services, so it sort of directs people. If I'm looking at somebody's Google My Business listing, I can go and see, oh, there's some products.
Yeah, so but you can also be found for these products and services. So what I talked about, and like I said, I don't know how I got hairdressers into this, but what I talked about in the big show was we did a search for hair colouring. Okay. Now, in this instance, the ads came first, and then there were some websites. Okay, but then came on, this is still on page one of the search engine results page, then came the little map with the three listings underneath it. Okay. But hair colouring, the websites that were above this were places like L'Oreal and places like, you know, the huge companies that are selling products. And then we got into the Google My Business listings for the local businesses. So they're up with those big names.
So you're saying that it was the product that or the service that got found as opposed...
Yeah, the service, which was hair colouring. Yeah. Mm.
That's really critical information, isn't it?
It's actually, therefore, the naming of your services is key to get the right.
You get 750 characters to say about your business, but you get 1,500 characters to say about your products or services.
Each one? For each one.
Yeah.
So that's a really good opportunity to put some keywords in there and think about what people are searching for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've got that. You have to start pen and paper. Who are my audience? What are their wants and needs?
So it really is like a shop window. It's like a shop. It's like a virtual shop.
Yeah. It sort of goes on even further than that. So if you have an online store, for example, on WordPress with WooCommerce, you can actually link your WooCommerce account to your Google My Business account. So it's very powerful for well, not hairdressers in this case, but possibly somebody
selling
shop. T-shirts or whatever. Yeah, I mean, that from that point of view, hugely powerful.
So you can literally buy straight off it.
Yeah, so it goes into the Google Shopping. Yeah.
Okay, so it almost seems like a bit of a no-brainer, this, doesn't it? And yet, I suspect, sort of around the conversations that were happening around the big show, is that not many people actually know about this. And yet an awful lot of people actually use Google.
I think. Yeah.
So why is that perception that I have correct?
Yeah, I think it probably is. A lot of people will find their businesses already on there. I mean, obviously not if you're just starting out. And that's because Google just went, okay, let's have a look at all the businesses that are on the internet and let's pull them all in. That's a generalisation, but you get what I mean. But the other thing is that what people don't appreciate is, one, that it's free and you can go and claim it if your business is already there. Okay, you just have to prove it's yours, obviously. But the other one is that it's one of those things where you think, well, that's a good idea, I'll put that in the diary. And then it just gets shuffled and shuffled and shuffled down the diary. Because you have to go and say, well, what do I need to put in here? Where do I get it?
It's no different to writing a website, really, isn't it? So if you've already got a website, you can put a lot of the stuff in there. Mm-hmm. If you haven't got a website, it's the perfect opportunity to actually sort of, you need to go through that thinking process anyway, don't you? To think about what you're going to put on there, and also an opportunity for you to get found.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
So my perception of this is that it's something that you can do yourself.
It is, yeah. Without, yeah.
So how would somebody actually get started? What are they going to do?
Well, as I say, you've got to have a Google account. So if you're just starting out, you've got to have a Google
So account. How do you set up a Google
Whether
account?
Whether that's Gmail, a YouTube account. But I strongly advise that you think about where you're going, because you don't want to use markjennings@gmail.com to be the business Gmail account. So you have to think about it. So it may be worth you going for a G Suite account.
What's the difference between the two?
Well, G Suite is designed for business. So essentially what you're looking for, if your escape strategy is to sell the business, you've got to sell this as well.
Yeah.
So make it something that you can quite happily part with, I suppose, is the easiest way to think about it.
And also something that makes sense to people. Because it may not be your name.
No. But you're not necessarily going to advertise this email out. It's for your access to your Google My Business account. And if you think about it strategically, it's also going to be your access to your analytics account. Yeah.
And YouTube.
Yeah. And so your business YouTube channel, etc. So you need to think about it from that point of view. I don't want to be Mary Jones. I need to be... Mm. Mary's hairdresser
I've used my business name for my Google
so that you can just say, here's my business, do you want to buy it? And they say, yes, I want to see all the analytics, here's the whole lot. You're going to get pass the whole lot on, because it's all part of your business empire.
Any spreadsheets, any documents, it all sits in that G Suite, doesn't it?
So think about it from that perspective. So before you just rush off with your markjennings@gmail.com, what's my end game here? And is this relevant to the end game, or let's think about it now and we'll start off from scratch. So, yeah, you need a Google account.
And then what?
And then the easiest thing is just Google My Business. Just Google My Business and then follow through the process.
So how easy is the process to go through? Because you do this for people, don't you?
Yeah.
So why would people pay you to do this if it's that easy?
So if we go back to our analogy of hairdressers, if you type in that hairdressers and then get that result that comes up with the little map and the three underneath, you'll see there's a thing that says more. And when you click through on the more, you'll see that there's actually 10 listings to a page, and quite often there's 10 pages of listings. So just having a listing helps you get found, great, but you want to be at the top
page
there.
Page one.
So I said it's you can do it yourself, but there's a lot of learning. It's a bit like sort of I'm going to service my car. I've spent 10 hours on YouTube watching how to do this, and then I'll go and do it. Oh God, what do I do with the oil now that I've just taken it out? And what guarantee or etc. will you give yourself for that service you've just done? So it's about that peace of mind, and time is money.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to appear at the top. Do you go and wire the house yourself, or do you get an electrician?
Are there any, when you're going through this, it sounds as though you sort of, you Google, so you set up your Google account, you then go and Google My Business, and you can then set up your Google My Business account within your Google account.
Or claim it if it's already there.
Right, yeah. Okay. So if Google has already sort of set it up for you, you then claim it, and then you go through a process of filling in stuff, uploading stuff, writing stuff, doing stuff. Is there anything that's absolutely critical? Because it all sort of sounds okay, doesn't it? It also sounds okay, I'll just get started and I'll trot along. Is there anything that's like a big sticking point?
The thing that you need to make sure is that you've got the name, address, phone number, is the NAP, as it's called. Okay, because you then need to make sure that with all its commas and abbreviations that you put in, is what you use everywhere else. So you need to then double check that the information you've put there is exactly the same on your business.
And that's granular, but that's really granular, isn't it? It's like you've got a comma there.
But if you start from there and build out.
Yeah.
So write the information down. This is how my business is. It's Mary's Hairdresser. It's number one on the high street, Rochester, etc. And if that's how you're going to write it on Google, that's how you're going to write it everywhere else.
When you say everywhere else, what do you mean by everywhere else?
Your Facebook business page. If you're on LinkedIn, your LinkedIn page.
Any other advertising?
Yell.com. If you're on Yell.com, make sure it's the same on there. So, because Google's going to say, is this relevant? and go and check all these places. So make sure it's the same on your website, if you already have a website.
So to clarify, what Google is looking for is sort of relevance and, I suppose, these aren't the right words, but sort of proof that you're real, I suppose, isn't it? That you exist in other places, that you're a proper business. Yeah. And so this is also one of the things that you're doing to show Google that you are a genuine business. And then, of course, if Google knows that, then people looking for you will get that as well.
Yeah, so I suppose if you think of Google as your big brother, your big brother will say, go and get your shoes from this shoe shop. It's a recommendation, and you trust your big brother. Mm. But he will have been there, chances are, or one of his best friends will have said so. Mm. So if you think of it from that point of view, you're treating Google as the ultimate source. But where is the relevancy coming from?
And building on that, just thinking, then you can get your Google reviews. You can ask people to give you a review on Google.
Yeah, you can. Mm. And there was a big sticking point with this some while ago, because people always thought, oh, I've got to create a Google account to give a review on Google. No, you don't. You can actually leave a review without having a Google account.
Does that not leave you vulnerable to people leaving horrible, that's the wrong word, isn't it? What? They were really nasty.
People being nasty.
Yes. No, but leaving a review that's perhaps not true, a competitor, that sort of thing, or just somebody. We hear so much at the moment, don't we, about sort of trolls and just vile people on the internet, just doing it to be vile. Doesn't that leave you a bit vulnerable to that?
It does and it doesn't. So Google has some rules about reviews anyway. So the chances are, if somebody's just going to try and be horrible, they're going to break those rules, so it will never get published. Mm-hmm. But you can also respond to the reviews. So best advice is never respond to a review the same day, good or bad. Mm. So set yourself this as a process now, and respond the next working day. Okay, so if you're not open on a Saturday, don't respond on a Saturday. Because otherwise people are going to start thinking, well, if I send them an email on Saturday, they're going to respond. So don't. Mm. Yeah. And then just be polite about whatever they've said. So thank you very much for your review. We have no record of you as a customer. Please email us at this email address and we can sort this out.
Mm. I think most people aren't daft, are they? And they sort of, if they see something really nasty and a considered response to that, then actually, when did you visit us? When were you a customer? Most people who are going to be customers, because you don't want the other dickheads, really, do you? You don't want them in your restaurants or in your hairdressers. No. You just don't want them. Are going to realise what's gone on, that actually this is a troll. And I think when you look at stuff, it's actually, when I've seen that happen, it's actually quite obvious where it's a dodgy review.
It can be, yeah. But it's, again, it's back to perceptions, isn't it? Mm. How do people perceive us? And we start back to don't sweat small stuff. It's back to how we think people are going to react to that. Because our initial gut reaction is, oh, God, no, what have we done?
Yeah. Yeah. So what you're saying is there's a process. You don't deviate from your process. You don't respond on the same day. And then you perhaps, so you're not reactive. You're responding, but you're not reacting. And then you go and you, okay, what's happened here? Is it genuine? Is it not genuine? Do a little bit of research. And then if it really isn't a genuine review, if somebody has never been a customer or anything like that, you can approach Google. I don't think that always works out okay, does it? But
no, you can approach Google to get them removed. But as I said, it has to have broken their rules before they will actually say, we'll take that down, because no, it's clearly wrong.
So I think if perhaps you approach going on Google My Business, it's the same as going on anything, isn't it? If you go on anything where you can be visible, at some point you are going to get some dickhead is going to say something. Or it could be that you have genuinely made a mistake or not delivered the best service. Because we're all human. Everybody is human.
I mean, if you consider yourself a clothes shop, for example, you get a consignment of 100 T-shirts in bags, which you then put on the shelves. Well, one of them could be ripped. You don't know that. But it's, again, this is like a customer service tool, isn't it? It's now how do you respond to the customer's complaint?
Yeah.
So and that would be in your, or should be in your process anyway, because somebody somewhere is not going to be happy with everything you do.
So you just sort of, we just need to accept it, don't we? Because the choice is to not be visible.
Yes. Well, yeah, the choice is to close the business, I suppose.
You have to accept that.
If the first person that moans is going to affect you that badly.
Yes, well, yeah, because I kind of think, well, you know, perhaps there may still be some people out there who are saying, well, I don't need to be on the internet and I don't need to do that. And that's absolutely fine. In theory, you could do everything by word of mouth. But at some point, somebody is not going to be happy at some point, even if it's justified or not. And you have to be able to deal with that internally. And respond to it externally. Doesn't really matter where you're showing up, does it?
No, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And for a small business, I suppose what you would rather have is at the end of the day sit down and respond to these things rather than having you or your staff interrupted through the day by phone calls of people saying, I'm not happy.
And I think, you know, making it sound like you're sort of inundated with these things, that you put your Google My Business page up and then the next day you've got 500 reviews. It doesn't quite work like that, does it?
More staff. Need more staff. Yeah.
Earlier on you mentioned something about if Google has already claimed your business or if Google has, your business is showing up on Google, but you haven't done it, you can go and claim it and you have to prove that basically you own that business. How do you do that?
There's numerous ways that you can do it, but Google actually, in all fairness to Google, has got a really good help service support for this. So yeah, just how do I claim, if you just Google how do I claim my business, the support information that's going to come up is really good.
You see, because they have to be careful, don't they? I mean, you know, I could say, yeah, I own that hairdresser's, yeah, it's mine, and off I go, and I don't. So
no, there is a process to verify it, and it used to be just a postcard with a code on that would come through, but now they'll ring the landline or whatever. So there's different methods of achieving it now. So they might say, okay, well, we've got it associated to this account, this Gmail account, for example, and it won't tell you what the Gmail account is. It will be, so if we're back to markjennings@gmail.com, it would be mark**, and then maybe the S at the end or something similar like that.
Oh, okay.
And then you either have to go and sort of get that account and log in and do it that way, or you will say, well, actually, this is my business here now, and please can you send it here? And they will then approach that email address to get the verification from them. It's okay to give it over, and there's a period of time, so if there's no answer, the next step will be put into place. So you can claim it. You don't...
Okay, are there any businesses that shouldn't do this?
Not sure, to be honest. It is a bit of a time management thing going on here. So if you're an e-commerce business solely, so all you do is internet shopping, do you need to be on it? Probably not, because the world is your oyster.
So
it's like all of these things, isn't it?
If you were, say, if you were purely like international e-commerce trading all over the world, you might be better off looking at a different sort of search engine optimization than this.
Yeah, because this is a local strategy, really.
Right, okay.
And again, local is, as I said earlier, you know, is it these cities or is it these counties? You know, so local is relevant when you look at the size of the planet.
Okay, so it doesn't mean that you can't do, that you wouldn't do business, say, abroad or 500 miles away, but that your main focus is in an area that you could travel to. Yeah. Or that a client could travel to you. I think that's some really useful information. And to say almost sounds like a bit of a no-brainer. But having said that, I know that there are all sorts of things that I think are no-brainers, but I don't actually go and do them. So I think this sounds like it's a case of, if you are a new business, if you don't have a website, you don't perhaps know where you're going just yet, is to get it going and to get yourself going through the process and think about what you're offering as you go through and perhaps use it as part of your little development strategy for your business.
Yeah, sure.
If we were to drill down on just one or two things, what would be your top tip for Google My Business?
See if your competitors are on it.
Because
if they're not, there's probably a very good reason, especially if they're well established.
Okay.
So, like I say, it's like so many of these things. Am I just going to throw time? And it's money. If your time is money. So am I going to throw time and money at this? But also, you have to rely on Google for what you do. And by that, I mean it has categories like Yelp and all the rest of them. But they're Americanized. So does your what your business is fit in there? And there's thousands of categories. So you just start typing for the category and Google says, are you this or are you this or are you this? And you have to pick one. So have an explore. See if it's in there. You can have up to 10 categories for your business, but obviously they need to be relevant. So are you actually in there or are you substituting something that's maybe what you believe
you're trying to fit?
Yeah, because now you're turning up and the other people may actually be what Google's got as a category, so obviously you're going to be pushed right out.
Didn't there used to be some sort of not a trick but like a little sort of rule of thumb about picking I don't actually know what I'm talking about here, but I seem to remember something about picking the category based on what you do and not who you are. Have I got that totally arse about face?
Yeah, so, it used to be that Google said, you're a plumber, you don't fix leaks. That was your category.
Right.
But now you can't do that.
Oh.
So there is no free type, I'll just make this up and this is what I do.
Ah, okay.
The category is, start typing, whatever comes up, that's what you can have.
So if you're doing it, so I think what you're saying here is, if you're doing it yourself, that you need to spend quite a lot of time, actually. So this is something maybe you do in front of the telly at night. You know, you're doing a bit of an explore. You're just having a look. Before you actually go and set it up, you're having a look at what other people are doing. You're having a look at the categories that Google has got. You're thinking, how do I fit into this? And perhaps having a good old sort of explore and rummage around before you actually sit down and start sort of setting it up.
Yeah, before you start trying to fill it out and then getting to the stumbling point of, oh, what? So if you call yourself a hair designer, but Google only has hairdressers, are you, you know, that's what I'm talking about with the categories. That's what you've got.
So go and just get a feel for it all first, about how it fits with you and about how you fit with us, because you're within their structure. And you're on your own website. You can do whatever you like, can't you? You can say you can call yourself Fred from Akapan if you want to, but you have to work within this structure.
Yeah, so there are guidelines, let's say, and there's some really good guidelines. Google has lots of good guidelines about what you can and cannot do, and they're readily accessible. You know, at every stage, it will tell you, here are the guidelines. And as I said, I think I've got some spreadsheets with some of these categories on, but there are thousands of them.
Well, that would, the nights will just fly by, won't they? Thank you so much for that. I think it's certainly something that if you don't end up doing, you should be certainly looking at doing. Certainly something that I'll be recommending to the business women that I work with.
Absolutely, especially when most of them say, I can't go forward yet because I've got a website, and this gives an opportunity.
You can get a website
through the back of it. Yeah. But the other thing that's sort of worth mentioning is that you can put posts out on Google My Business.
Do blogs, like articles.
Think more like Facebook posts.
Oh, right.
But these can appear in the search engine result pages. So from that point of view, that's really really powerful for you as a business. So you can also, if somebody cancels a thing tomorrow, you can put that out there and allow people to book through your Google
so you can do
business.
Post. Yeah, I like that.
And I think it's also included now in quite a lot of the social media scheduling tools.
It is. It's in mine.
That Google My Business posts.
It's in Zoho.
Yes,
socials.
It is in Zoho, isn't it?
Yeah,
yes,
because I post mine out to it.
And in Zoho, and I'm sure you can do this in a lot of them, you can also put, it lets you put the URL, it lets you put the link in, doesn't it, into like the more info thing.
Yeah, because there's a button at the end of the post on Google My Business. You can, absolutely. Learn more, book more, whatever.
Thank you so much for that, but we haven't finished with you yet. We have not finished with you.
It's not the word, is it?
I know. No. So thinking just generally sort of about business, what is your top tip for being in business?
Try it. You never know, it might work.
Do you know what? That is so, it is so profound, because I was talking to a lot of women this week, and I, you know, we've got this, I call it silly season, when shall I go forward? I've lost a client. I'm not sure. And do you know what? Just keep going. Try it. You never know. And I think sometimes we just, that's perfect for the amount of women I've spoken to this week, where it feels like two steps forward, 10 back.
Do you know, that reminds me of, it's a lady that I know quite well. I'm not going to tell you what she does, because people will know who she is. So she's in like the professional services, insurance, that sort of thing. And this was before lockdown. She ended up in a situation where she had a major, major, major client. And we spoke after she'd actually moved through this period. So she had a major client that was actually bringing in the majority of the income into her business. And she'd just taken on two members of staff, one of whom she was related to. So there's always a little bit of an extra obligation there, isn't there, I feel.
Yeah.
So, you know, when somebody's given up their job to come and work.
You feel a bit compelled to get this business going, don't you?
Yeah. And lost the client, if you like.
Ouch.
And she said, I actually collapsed on the floor. Mm. She actually fell on the floor. I thought, you know, sort of, and I know that feeling where you just, oh my God. Sometimes I wonder, why do we do this?
To be fair, if we're being completely truthful, I collapsed on the floor yesterday for that exact reason. It wasn't my top client, but it was a client, and it's left a gap in the books. Yes. But I just had to have that 5 minutes on my knees. Yeah. I've got back up, I'm here. But that's how it feels some days.
Yeah, and so she literally collapsed. She literally collapsed on the floor. But she said, I got up after a while. I got back up and went and, you know, just sort of went and got others.
Yeah.
And realised that having all of my eggs in one basket wasn't the best way to go. I mean, and I know how obvious it sounds now. We sit here talking about it, but it happens. It's what happens. Mm. It's how we, you know, it's how we work sometimes, isn't it? We just get on with stuff. We don't always strategize well. But she did. She went out and she found those other clients and she carried on. And her income and the turnover profit was bigger than it was before.
Mm.
So, yeah, sometimes we do have to have our big girl pants on and get on with it, don't we?
We have our moment.
Did you have a top tip for being in business? Because we haven't been here for 2 weeks, so who knows?
My top tip for being in business. It is linked to what you said, because your business does, from startup, it grows organically. You get one client here, one client there, one client here. And I think my top tip for business would be to look at that client portfolio every quarter in two veins. One is, like you said, what's the financial income and risk to it? And you know, another one, time.
Mm.
All right, because some of my clients might be paying less but taking more time, and the other way around. So for me, sometimes we think about client review just in what does that look to the income portfolio. I've now, my top tip is, and then go look at those clients and look at it in the time portfolio as well. I wished I'd started that at the beginning, and I might have either not taken on clients or terminated clients, but that's it's not the right word. But I sometimes I think of it with just as income, and I think that would be my top tip, because we grow organically and we get really excited and we get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and at one point we have to, when the company is breaking even and then making a profit, just step back. That's what would be my top tip for your portfolio.
And I think we're going to be talking about this in the second half of the show. It's actually defining around that. It's defining your role and your relationship with the client. And, you know, what is my relationship with this client? Mm. Okay, how are we working together? And so that you can identify when they have overstepped that mark.
Absolutely. And the more familiar you get with them, and then sometimes that they get more familiar with you, and you're like, no. Yeah, good. Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll be talking about sort of drilling down, honing in on the relationship and what your role is. It's all about setting boundaries.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about that in the second half of the show, which, of course, is all about going loopy. or not going
with
loopy.
Solutions.
Yes, not going loopy, and it's just going to be. It's just Adele and I. We're just going to. It's just going to be like girl talk.
Therapy.
Yes, girl talk. Everything that's driven us nuts this last 2 weeks. I can't remember if I've asked this question. So let's start with Mark. What do you know now that you wish you'd have known when you started out?
I would say, if it's something you don't enjoy, get it out the door.
So don't...
Freelance, whatever. Get stuff out to third party as quickly as you can if it's something that you're not into.
Or you're no good at.
Yeah, get it out.
Have you got one, Dale? It has been 2 weeks.
It has, and again, I think it's, for me, is just think about where you network and why. Sometimes we go to networks because people there that we know, so it's safe, but is actually where you need to network. And I still don't think it's always looked at from a strategic way.
Because it costs quite a lot to go networking, isn't it? Even when it's free.
I
once worked out that going to a networking event cost me £700. By the time I've got there, time, thinking, there, chatting, leaving.
Absolutely. I still don't think we look at it strategically enough as women. That's my view.
Okay, so thank you very much. Mark Jennings, Storm Chasers Digital. How can people get hold of you?
Stormchasersdigital.com is the website. team@stormchasersdigital.com. Send us an email.
Thank you very much. And Adele, we are not going anywhere, are we? This must be really confusing.
I might have to leave the room for about 3 or 4 minutes.
This must
and
be
then
really confusing
back.
To people who are listening to the show. We're back, but you can't listen to it at the end of this. You have to hop on to the next podcast because it's going to be edited and split up and all of that sort of thing. But as far as the strategy part of the show goes, we will be back this time. We will be back this time next week, so we will see you soon.
Tune in next week to the Women in Business radio show for more stories, ideas, and inspiration to help you grow your business.